Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge and Clear Vista Financial are not affiliated. Discussions in the show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making an important investment decision.
Welcome, everyone, to the next episode of the Spend Life Well Show. I'm your host, Mark Trice. I'm here in the podcast studio with my counterparts, Matthew Boudreaux and Jesse Hamilton. Say hello, guys.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up?
You know, guys, I don't know. Well, Jesse probably never does because he's a real young guy, but Matt, you and I have to get an annual physical every year, right?
Yes, we do.
And, of course, some of us are getting to the age where we have lots of additional procedures every year. But, you know, just like getting a health physical every year, every one of us needs to get a financial physical every year. And I promise you, it's not as quite as intrusive as a health physical as for a financial physical. So today we're going to talk a little bit about how do you give yourself an annual financial physical? And we're going to also talk about a little bit about, you know, during the tough times, what do you do? And I was reminded as we were kind of preparing for this podcast episode, I was reminded of Joseph. You know, Joseph and the
coat in Egypt?
In Egypt. Yeah, that Joseph.
You're talking about the Broadway musical?
Well, I mean, there was a musical done after Joseph. Was it Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat?
Yes.
Yes, okay. And we can break into song a little bit later on.
That's not what we're talking about.
No, but okay. we do look to the example of Joseph when he's, for especially his time in Egypt.
Because he had some good times and then some bad times, right?
Right, right.
All over the place. I think the biggest thing we need to know about Joseph is, number one, he started his life as what was considered a normal guy back in the day, living with his family, serving the flocks. I think the big thing we need to pay attention to is, though, God started speaking to him, and he was able to interpret some dreams, which angered his brothers. His brothers thought they were going to go ahead and dump him out and kill him. But as they were in that process, they dumped him in a cistern where eventually he was sold into slavery. Joseph eventually worked his way up through some of these interpretations in front of the Pharaoh. And Pharaoh at that time was facing some things with government and all. And as he talked to Joseph, Joseph interpreted some things that came true and immediately became very valuable in Pharaoh's eyes there as he looked forward into the future and almost became I don't want to say a fortune teller or a prophet, but he was definitely told some things through that God had showed him that became very valuable to Pharaoh.
So there's one dream in particular that was very troubling to Pharaoh, right? And Joseph revealed the meaning, and that was that Egypt was destined for 7 years of agricultural abundance followed by 7 years of famine. And that's kind of a, you know, pretty clear economic forecast. You know, economists today could just kind of guess.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, I mean, if we had God helping us interpret the economic forecast, we could really plan well. And, you know, we can always pray for that direction and wisdom. But Joseph really took a role as almost like the COO of Egypt. He was number two
to Pharaoh.
And he really began preparing in earnest for this economic forecast. Now one of the things that Joseph did was he started by touring the country to assess the state of the nation. Now, at the time, the harvests were abundant, right? And can you imagine Joseph surveying the territory? He noted population levels and needs. He monitored crops and grain production, and he considered different types of storage alternatives. But then he established some goals. And simply, Joseph wanted Egypt to be able to survive that 7 years of famine that lay ahead, and he developed a plan around that.
Could that be like your average investor or a client or something, at least being somewhat involved in what's happening in the economy? Not necessarily being an expert, but just understanding what's going on.
Well, that's important to pay attention to those things, and that's kind of one of the reasons that we have this podcast, because we want people to be prepared for the future, and Joseph did the same thing. You know, he planned for during that time of abundance, he planned for the famine, and he gathered very much of the grain, as the scripture says, is the sand of the sea, until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. And that comes from Genesis 41, 49. And like you said, Jesse, Joseph's approach really parallels a strategy you can employ for your own financial future. And we're going to talk about this in really three different podcasts. So today we're going to focus on one thing, but the three areas are, you know, taking that financial physical. The second area we'll establish on the next podcast is, what's the finish line? You know, we just don't want to save for the purpose of saving. We have to have a goal in mind. What's the end game? And then finally, in the last podcast, we'll talk about how do you get from here to there? What are the things you need to do to get there? And so let's talk a little bit about that financial physical. But Jesse, maybe you can. I know you've worked on this a little bit. What are some things, if you're in a situation where your finances are not where they need to be, maybe you're in a bit of a hard place. Maybe you've been unemployed recently. What are some things that you, when you're in a tough time, what are some things you don't want to skip on?
So we've come up with 8 things to not skimp on during tough economic times. And number one on the top of the list is giving, because it helps us acknowledge God's provision, what he's doing, and how that money is actually God's money. Second is the things that are going to keep you alive. Don't skimp on your mortgage, your property tax. The third is your utilities. The fourth is your car maintenance. And the fifth is your health insurance. All these things we need to stay afloat, and we can't skimp on them. And then we talked about number 6, which is, don't give up fun times with your spouse and your kids. There's a lot of available options for inexpensive ways to have fun, some low-cost alternatives, you know, going to the park, or I don't know. We can talk about that after. There's lots of different ways to not spend a lot of money. Number 7 is, don't skimp on patience and long-term vision. We're going to continue talking about that in this episode and then the episodes to follow. And then, of course, number 8, Bible reading and prayer. You need to stay rooted in your foundations.
I think all of us are familiar, especially during the pandemic this last year, of the concept of the staycation, right?
Yep.
Did you all take your trip to Europe this last year, Matt?
No.
No one got to go anywhere. So it became a game of trying to find things, number one, that were open, number two, that were free. And if you don't have a swimming pool in your backyard, sometimes that $20 one from Walmart can come in real handy when it's hot.
I was going to say take out the hose, but
you can do that too. That's what I used to do when I was a kid, to run around the sprinkler. Yeah. But so I got to question you about something, Jesse. I mean,
okay.
You know, if God wants us to mend our finances, you know, why should we give? This is a leading question, by the way, so I don't expect
it's a perspective changer. We like to hold our money and think it's all ours, but God's going to work through however we can give back.
Right, and the thing we have to acknowledge, too, is that, and we've talked about this on previous podcasts, is God owns it all. If we are truly believe that God is the creator of the universe, he's a creator of our wealth too. He's a creator of our savings, creator of our paycheck, and the giving back is just nothing more than an acknowledgement of where it came from. Now, I'm not a believer, and I don't think you guys are either, in the prosperity gospel or anything like that. But I know for us, you know, giving is important, and it starts out as a process of obedience, right? You know, just wanting to follow God's will. But as you grow in your walk with Christ, you'll find that giving in tough times and good times is really an act of worship.
Right.
And so, Jesse, I think you're spot on, you know, wanting to really really focus on giving first. And it's not giving of what's left over.
It's what's first.
So, Matt, do you want to walk us through, you know, 3 or 4 questions that are critical for that financial physical? And maybe we can all chime in a little bit on that.
Sure. Yeah. I think, and before we get into that, I think the big thing that stands out to me about this story of Joseph is, as he works with Pharaoh, how much of a planner he is. And I know because there'll be succeeding episodes here, but as we work with clients and as we walk through financial checkups, I still am amazed how we can learn from not necessarily something that it did have to do with financial concepts, but it had to do with bigger concepts and how we can take these fundamental basic things that Joseph was doing and apply it to our financial life. And so as we get into the questions that we need to ask ourselves, I think we'll just start with four. And this is how we need to assess things to think forward. Number one, what do I owe? And now we're talking about debt here, right? Unfortunately, a lot of Americans have big ticket items as far as debt.
Yep.
Whether we're talking about mortgage, whether we're talking about vehicles, we could be just talking about consumer debt like credit cards. But we need to think, what is it that we owe? What do we need to pay down? And come up with some sort of number, right? Number two, what do I own? We can talk about assets, things, and this may be our mortgage as well. As we're going down some mortgage payment, we may have a mortgage payment that we're paying every month, but we need to talk about what value is in the home that's already there. Number three, how much am I spending? You know, this has to do with more or less of cash flow. Money's coming in. Where is it going? I know we need to eat. I know we need to do other things as time goes on, but where's our money going? What is going to each category? And number four, how strong are our safety nets? When we're talking about safety nets, it's more or less our insurance pieces, right? We have mortgage insurance, we have auto insurance, we have life insurance. If something happens, some sort of tragedy, some sort of disaster, what is going to be there to hold us in place? Are we going to lose everything? What are those buffers to kind of keep us in place for those borderlines? How far can we plan?
Let's unpack some of these a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. So let's first talk about what do I owe. I think a lot of us will look at just the main things, the mortgage payment, the car payment. And a lot of times that's what drives our financial pictures is really the things that I have to pay off. Some of you may have credit card debt, but I think it's imperative that you understand what is it that you actually owe. And you need to create a little spreadsheet or a yellow pad, take them and write down those amounts. I want you to make two lists, really, one for credit card only and the other for all other debts. And you can tally what you owe, compiling that information, and then it needs to look something like this. You need to know the name of the creditor. So if it's Citibank or if it's, Chase Auto, write down the initial amount that you borrowed. That's the amount of the borrow at the beginning of the loan, or if it's a credit card, what that balance was. Look at the current balance due, and that's what you have to pay off, right? Okay. And then we need to look at minimum monthly payments as well. And that's just to keep your account current, whether that's a minimum monthly payment on a credit card, whether it's a minimum monthly payment on a mortgage. And this allows you to look at these things in a different light. And also, I think it's real important for you to know the interest rate that you're paying on that debt. Because later on, we'll talk a little bit about, in a future episode, about how to pay down debt. But you need to know exactly what you owe on that. Guys, you got anything else you want to add on that?
I guess just for people who have multiple types of debt that might seem overwhelming and maybe a mountain that you can't climb, that's a really good first step there is to separate it into two different columns of different behaviors of the debt and how you can move forward with them.
Yeah, if we don't take an accounting of where we stand on everything, we don't know where the finish line is going to be. And we have to take that accounting. You have to be accountable for what you borrowed. It's okay. You got two car notes and a mortgage and a bunch of credit card bills. It's okay. You're like 95% of the rest of America. But if you want to pay down that debt and be debt-free, you have to know where you stand. We cannot begin to work on the second thing that or second and third things that we talked about was what do you own and how much are you spending. So, Matt, I mean, I know you kind of glossed over what do you own, but this has many, many purposes. You know, we need to know what your net worth is, right? You mentioned something about, the equity in your home. Mm-hmm. But what about other things, too? You need to know what's in your house.
Sure. Valuable things.
Yeah. If you have computers, maybe jewelry, that not only comes, you know, you're not going to go down and hawk your wife's wedding ring or anything like that, right, guys? So that's a free advice to you guys that have not been as married as long as I have. But you're not going to do stuff like that. But for insurance purposes, you need to have a listing of everything that's in the house. So if something happens to your house, you're robbed or house burns down, you've got an accounting of that and can get some help replacing that.
Aside from insurance and accounting purposes, that's a pretty common tool we use around the Office for Financial Planning is the balance sheet. And those of you that have gone to business school, that's business 101 is the balance sheet. But that'd be a great first step to write out what you owe and what you own in a spreadsheet or even on a piece of paper. And you can start determining where your worth is, where your debt is, that kind of thing.
You know, it reminds me, Jesse, I forgot that we've got a resource available for all our listeners, and that's our financial fitness checklist. If you want to email us at info@clearvistafinancial.com or give us a call at 800-491-4508, that's a free resource. We will send it directly to you, and you can take a look at that and get you started on this stuff. So what about spending, guys? I mean, this is one of the most
frustrating. That's probably the hardest one, in my opinion.
It is. It is. And Matt, I think you'll agree that one of the most, well, let me put it this way. Almost everybody that comes into our office has no clue what they're spending.
Right.
Yeah. I'll just put it, I'll be point blank.
Maybe 1 in 10.
One in 100, man. 1 in 100. Because we always ask every prospective client that we're going to work with, what are their monthly expenses? And it is 1 in 100. They'll come in and say, I'm spending $4,995.32. And they know exactly where every dollar is going. And kudos to them. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But most people, when you ask them that, this is what happens. And I wish this was on video so I could actually show you all. But imagine that you're watching a movie and you're asking someone for an answer to a question and they don't know the answer. So they're accessing, they look up and to the right, and they're accessing, is that the cerebral cortex, the front, I don't know.
No idea.
I didn't take anatomy and physiology. But they're accessing the creative part of their mind, to try to come up with what they spend. And if you know that you are spending every dime that you bring in and no more, you are ahead of probably 80% of the populace.
Well, I think a lot of things can be predictable. Obviously, the mortgage payments, the car payments that are the same every month. But there are a lot of variables, especially different times of year from month to month. There are so many things that change.
I mean, eating out can be $20. It can be $100.
Or $100 if you're my family with four kids. So the most important thing you can do here, folks, is if we're trying to figure out how much you're spending, you just simply write it down. It seems overly simplistic, but that's all there is to it. Just simply write down what you spend. Now, for many of you, that might be a credit card or debit card, and you can download that information from your bank every month. But you need to know within a few dollars what you are spending every month. It's that simple. Don't be one of these folks that look up and to the right, accessing the creative part of their brain to go through and try to figure out how much they're earning, because they'll cover about 70% of their expenses by doing that, and they miss the other 30%. You guys know what the most common household expense that most people miss when they're looking at their spending?
Most common?
Most common.
Netflix.
Netflix, okay. Now, they usually know the Netflix. They forget to include food.
Oh, really?
Right. Groceries. Most people, they forget that, oh, yeah, I do have to eat. So that's why it's important for you to write it down, take a look at it, have an accountability partner or your spouse to look over it with you and say, hey, what about Netflix? We're all this time watching Netflix when we're over at your house. You know, did you include Netflix? So having someone to help you do that really can help.
I imagine Joseph had to do some pretty accurate planning to predict and help Pharaoh predict over the coming years.
I mean, you think about that. They didn't have computers.
They didn't have any computers.
They weren't tracking exports and imports and and things like that. They were really judging it based on average yields for harvest and the population and how is that growing and so forth. And they had excess.
Yeah.
I mean, the story continues when Joseph's brothers come to Egypt And they don't know Joseph is in charge, but they come to Egypt because the people of Israel are starving and they need food. But Joseph did such a great job that he was able to help them or at least sell things to them. So lastly, those safety nets. A lot of that had to do with insurance, and it's important that you have that. I think, Matt, there's one that we probably didn't mention, that was disability.
Yep.
If you lose the ability to work because of health or other issues, you want to make sure you can replace that income, because that is a big threat to your livelihood if that source of income gets cut off because of our health.
I don't know if I mentioned health either. I don't think I mentioned health insurance.
You may not have, but we do need to include health insurance. Yeah, and there's so many different things out there. If you're not able to afford traditional health insurance, there are things like Samaritan's Ministries and MediShare that are out there. There's a few others that offer an alternative for any type of catastrophic type care that you might need. So,
one other real quick safety net that some people get hung up on but is very important is just general liquidity. That can be a safety net, right?
Yeah. I mean, having an emergency fund is foundation 101 when it comes to building that, taking that financial physical. You got to have an emergency fund. What do you guys usually recommend for a good emergency fund?
I mean, in basic conversation, beginner conversation, I say 3 to 6 months worth of living.
Yeah, I would say 3 to 6 months. On a very conservative level, we might say 12,
depending
on the client.
Depending on the industry and what they're used to.
Right, right. I mean, if you got a bunch of debt and you're under the burden of a huge amount of debt and you're just trying to get that debt paid down, I know a lot of financial experts will recommend, you know, starting with $1,000. So that, you know, if you have a flat tire or maybe a transmission that goes out in your car, you certainly can take care of that short-term emergency. But generally, we advise people 3 to 6 months of living expenses as a good emergency fund. I think, you know, depending on the situation, everybody's unique. If you're holding more than 12 months of living expenses in cash, you probably got a little too much. And, you know, it's even if you're conservative. But some people like to hold on to cash. Yep. Only problem is it can't keep up with inflation and you're losing purchasing power. So anyway, I think this is a good start, guys, for, you know, the three areas that we want to visit. Those areas today, we talked about taking a financial physical, seeing where you are. Next time we'll visit about goal setting and establishing where that finish line is. And then finally, in the third installment of this series, we will talk about how do we get from here to there? And it may be involved getting out of debt, looking at long-term investing goals, preparing for college, all sorts of different things. But we'll talk about goal setting and things next time. So, guys, I think that's probably it for today. We want to thank you for joining us. Our scripture today was from Genesis 41:49, and we hope you'll take a moment to read that sometime. But we appreciate you joining us, and please join us on the next episode of the Spend Life Well Show.